Well, thank you, Tarina and the worship team for leading us this morning. Gotta confess, as I was looking at social media this week, seeing Brandon and Sioux Falls Christian and Harrisburg and other districts send their kids back, it made me long to open enroll out of Sioux Falls and get my crew going a little sooner. And they're out of town today, so I can say whatever I want about them. But certainly you students, you teachers, we're praying for you, those that have gone back in Sioux Falls Public, as you go back in a week or so. You're at the forefront of our thoughts and our prayers. Pastor Doug is in the Black Hills today. He's finishing up speaking at the men's retreat that several of our guys are attending. He'll be back next Sunday to kick off our Faith and Politics series. This is going to be a series you're not going to want to miss. In fact, if you have friends or family members, co-workers who maybe haven't been to church in a while or are skeptical about coming to church, great series to invite them to. We'll be talking about political issues such as abortion, immigration, welfare, debt, hot topics. And so I encourage you to make sure you join us in September. If you do miss a week, all the messages, of course, are recorded and put online as well. Well, how many of you here, like me, have a tendency to lose or misplace something? Quick show of hands. I didn't think I was in that group, but over, you know, time, I've come to discover that I do, in fact, lose things. My keys, my phone, my wallet. And there's just been enough incidences where that is who I am. And in fact, I think Tarina's kind of dreading when we get older, and I'll do the grouchy, grumpy old man, you know, have you seen my keys? Hun, you see my keys? You know how we talk when we get older. I'm sure she's not looking forward to that. Remember one time several years ago, I lost my keys here. And, you know, you lose something and people, and I've said this to people too, well, just retrace your steps. Well, when I lose my keys here on a Sunday morning, retracing my steps means basically covering every square inch of the place. I'm upstairs, I'm downstairs, I'm in men's rooms, I'm in women's restrooms, checking supplies, stuff like that. And so we're scurrying all over. Finally, after this service, second service, I told my kids, first person that finds my keys gets $5. And about an hour, it took them about an hour just kind of getting on their hands and knees and screaming. They found them about halfway in the middle section. They're kind of where the Susan Gernick is sitting. That's kind of where they found my keys. Have no idea how they got there. Another time, again, several years ago, Tarina and I were going through Financial Peace University. A great class we're offering it this fall if you're interested in that opportunity. But one of the things you do in the class is you get on the envelope system and you pay cash for different things like groceries and gasoline and going out to eat and entertainment and those types of things. And so we would do that. We would get paid and we would cash out our check and put it into different envelopes, and we would take that envelope system wherever we went. We'd go to Hy-Vee, it was there. We filled up with gas, it was there. And one day I ran to the store to pick up some things, grabbed my envelope, paid for cash, and left my envelope at the store. Got home, couldn't find it. Hundreds of dollars, and that is a ill feeling if you've ever done that. It's just a sick feeling. And so, you know, you call the store, you scurry back, and thankfully some good Samaritan had found it on the parking lot. They picked it up, they brought it inside, they didn't take anything. I'm still thankful to God for that. Well, today in our Ridiculous Faith series and talking about Elisha, I want to talk about losing something spiritual in nature. And some of us have lost passion for God or the things of God that we used to have, but now do not have. Some of us have lost joy. And we used to be people who were content, who were positive, who were harmonious. And we've lost that joy. We've turned into negative Nellies who critically complain about every situation that comes our way. Some of us have lost faith. And some of us here used to pray a lot, and we talked with God about things both big and small, and we could tell you the countless times that God had provided for our lives or used us or worked within us, but lately we've lost that faith, and we've lost that connection. And we're not even sure we believe some of the things that we used to believe when we were more connected with God. And so our final story from Elisha's life that we're looking at here in August has a lot to talk about finding what's been lost. And we can find that story in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. A few different ways you can follow along. You can certainly turn to your own copy of the scriptures. We've got Bibles in the seats in front of you. We'll have the words on the screen behind me. If you have a smartphone or tablet and you've got that YouVersion Bible app, click the live events. Hillcrest should pop up. If it doesn't, type in 57103 or Hillcrest and you should be able to find it that way. One day, the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, "As you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet." "All right," he told them, "go ahead." "Please come with us," someone suggested. "I will," he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. "Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." Now, I know maybe if you've been with us here this series, some of you are disappointed that we're not teaching on Elisha and the bears, which is another sweet story from Elisha's life that you can find in 2 Kings 2. It's a great story. In fact, I know Pastor Doug has taught on it at least once or twice in his ministry here. And that message is in the Hillcrest Vault. You know how Disney has the vault, right? Where like Bambi, the movie, is, and every so often they kind of pull it out of the vault. Well, if you want that message, talk to me after service or drop Pastor Doug an email. We've got it recorded. We'll be sure to pull it out of the vault for you. But to our story today, this group of prophets that Elisha is leading have a problem. The space that they are meeting at is too small. And you see, Elisha is not only a prophet who does some crazy things, crazy miracles, weird stories, but he's also in charge of this group of prophets or this school of prophets who are studying to become like him. He is like a college professor who has a class of students under him. And the space that they're meeting in, they have outgrown. It's too small. And so they're kind of looking for different spots that they can meet. It's time for a building campaign. And the students suggest a space by the Jordan River where there's a lot of trees, a lot of limber that they can use to build the new space. And Elisha says, "Go ahead." And one of the prophets says, or one of the student prophets says, "Well, please come with us." And Elisha says, "I will." Man, a few words, right? Just go ahead. "I will." All right. So Elisha and the school of prophets, they make their way to the Jordan. They begin to cut down the trees. And while cutting down the trees, one of the student prophets drops his axe head into the river and he loses it. And to complicate matters, the student reveals that it's not his axe. It's a borrowed axe. Now, it's one thing to lose something that belongs to you. Another thing altogether to lose something that you borrowed from somebody else. I've done that. I've wrecked things that I've borrowed from other people. Not a good feeling. In Elisha's time period, iron is a very valuable resource. There's not a lot of tools in circulation. There's not an Ace or a Home Depot that, you know, this prophet can go to pick up a replacement. And so it's a real problem for him. He's out money. He's out some pride. And one of the cool things about this story is that God cares about the big and the small details in our lives. I don't know about you, but the first thing I do when I've lost something, especially when I lost that envelope, is I prayed. I said, "God, help me find this missing wallet. Help me find my keys." I know that in the grand scheme of things, my lost wallet or lost keys aren't as big of a deal as an orphan who's waiting to be adopted, as a widow who's struggling to make ends meet. But it's theologically dangerous to say that God doesn't care about the small details of our lives. He only cares about the big picture stuff. And God cares about the tests that we take. He cares about the appliance that isn't working. And He cares about the flu or the cold that we're fighting. He cares about our schedules. He cares about your child's game or their competition or their tryout or their performance. And to say that God only cares about the bigger macro issues and that He doesn't care about the smaller micro issues is to limit God. And who are you or I to limit God and to limit what God can use to bring you and I and others closer to God? Back to our story, verses 6 and 7. "Where did it fall?" Elisha, the man of God, asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. "Grab it," Elisha said. And the man reached out and grabbed it. In addition to God caring about the smaller details in our lives, the biggest theme from this ridiculous recovery is this. God knows how to help you find what you did not mean to lose. God knows how to help us find what we did not intend to lose. Our God is a good God who helps us find what we did not mean to lose. And this story is a bit of a metaphor. And the axe head in the story represents our spiritual edge, our spiritual focus that you and I might have lost. And the question we might be asking right now is, how have we lost our spiritual edge? And if you can look at your life, and you can look back at your life, and you can identify any point in the past where you were more on fire for God, where you were closer to God, where you were more purposeful in your walk with God than you are now, then you have lost your edge. Because you can point back and go, when I was in college, I was so alive. Or when I was in high school, I told everyone about Jesus. Or last year, last month, I was closer to God than I feel right now. And some of us have lost our edge because we no longer hang out with Christian people who sharpen us and encourage us and pray for us and hold us accountable. And we've got these groups and classes that we're starting next month. The main reason for those groups and classes isn't to busy your life. It's not so Hillcrest can say, well, we've got so many people in these groups and classes, or look how many groups and classes we have. No, the main purpose behind offering all these different opportunities is because we believe in the power of Christian people coming together for encouragement and accountability and support. We believe that you're going to get your spiritual edge back if you're doing it with other people who are also looking to sharpen their own spiritual edges. Some of us have lost our edge because we no longer serve. We've stopped volunteering. And again, we can look back and we can say, I used to teach this class, or I used to volunteer in children's or youth ministry, or I used to be on the worship team. I used to be in these different types of opportunities. I used to serve outside of the church walls, and I just stopped. I've lost my edge. Some of us have lost our passion for telling other people about Jesus. And we can look back again and we can say, I was more on fire for God at this point, and I would tell people about Jesus. I would invite people to church. I would invite people to different events. I would share my faith. I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't anxious as I am today, and I've lost my edge. Some of us, if we're honest, we've lost our edge because we've lowered our standards. And we used to not watch certain types of television shows. Or we used to not watch certain types of movies with certain ratings or certain content. But somewhere along the way, we lowered our standards. And that casual dropping of the standards has cost us our spiritual edge. For some of us, this picture is the surest sign that we've lost our spiritual edge. I feel that, right? Quit judging me, Netflix. Leave me alone. It'll key. Good Lord knows I've seen this image in my own life from time to time. Therefore, binging on TV or just mindlessly consuming entertainment or television or movies, it's only a matter of time before we lose our edge. We're simply not interested in regaining it if our minds are captivated by whatever's on TV. I know for many of those areas we just mentioned, I'm as guilty as the next person when it comes to having lost my spiritual edge. There are many days I don't want to pick up the scriptures. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to pick up a book that'll sharpen me or challenge me. I'd rather just watch television. I don't want to email my accountability partner or attend small group or volunteer. I'm no spiritual superhero. I'm no spiritual giant. I've lost my edge a lot. I think it simply can be human nature for us to lose that edge. I came across this quote from John Maxwell. He gave this at the Global Leadership Summit a couple of weeks ago. Maxwell, who I do consider a spiritual giant, said this: "People have uphill goals and downhill habits. And the only way to fix is to add intention to your life." A lot of truth in that statement. August and September have a new year feeling to them. They have a back to school, clean the slate, New Year's resolution type of feel to them. We want to get in shape. We want to be healthier. We want to be, you know, more spiritually connected at church or with other people. We want to start some different habits. And those are good things, but those are uphill goals. And the problem with the uphill goal is that we've got downhill habits. And we've got downhill habits like the things we just mentioned that are going to make it hard to achieve those uphill goals. And the only way to fix that is to get some intention in our life, to be intentional about the things that we're trying to do. And so if you're called to get healthier or lose some weight or run a 5K, that's an uphill goal. But maybe you're like me and you fight against downhill habits like drinking soda and eating ice cream and missing runs. Well, you're not going to get that uphill goal if you don't bring some intention to those habits that are causing you to go down. And the same is true with our spiritual edge. Volunteering, serving, prayer, Bible study, telling others about Jesus, these are uphill goals. And they require intention. They require work. They require effort. They require you to put in something in order to get that goal. When the student loses the axe head, notice the question that Elijah asks him. He says, "Where did it fall?" Now, on the surface, it's a rather simple and logical question. If you lose something and you tell someone about it, they're going to say, "Well, where do you last remember having it?" That's the dumbest question ever. If I remembered where I last had it, I would have found it by now, right? Don't ask me that question. I obviously don't know where I last had it, because I've lost it. But Elisha says, "Where did it fall?" The axe head is where the student dropped it. It's not lost, it's just where the student left it. And for your spiritual edge and mine, the question is this: where did it fall off? Where did we lose it? Where did we start to lose our spiritual edge? Maybe you began to hang out with some people who weren't focused on the things of God. And so your friendship with them or your connection with them is where your spiritual edge began to drop. Maybe you dropped the discipline. You used to pray and you stopped. You used to read God's word and you stopped. You used to use our soul provider as your devotional time with God, and you stopped. You used to be a tither, and you got behind, and then you stopped. Maybe some of us have been hurt by church people before. Maybe some of you have been hurt by someone else here. Maybe you've been hurt by me or some other Christian. And you've used that as an excuse for your heart to grow hard. And you've blamed God for something that someone else did, and as a result, you've lost your edge. And I'm not trying to minimize how painful those moments can be, how painful those episodes can be. But we can't stop there. It's not an excuse for us to not reclaim the edge that we want to have in our spiritual life. And then notice what Elisha tells the prophet after he supernaturally causes the axe head to float to the top of the water. He says, grab it. The second truth to this story is that you and I need to take back what we've lost. It's up to you and I to grab our spiritual edge back. Our God specializes in helping us find what we did not mean to lose. God can make the axe head float to the top of the water. He will give you opportunities to reclaim your spiritual edge. But it's up to you and I to grab it. Elisha made the axe head float to the top of the water, but Elisha did not grab the axe and give it back to the student. Elisha says, you need to grab it. Very similar to other themes in Elisha's stories that we've looked at this month. When the armies are in the desert and they need water, God makes the water come, but the army had to dig the ditch. And last week with the widows, or with the widow and being, you know, broke and poor and desolate, God is the one that makes the oil multiply, but the widow is the one that collects the jars. She has some skin in the game. And again, God can make the axe head float. He will bring our spiritual edge back, but we need to reach out and take it. And I imagine some of us are maybe having kind of this internal talk inside our head right now. Because the one side of us is really excited about the possibility of getting our spiritual edge back. There's always something exciting inside of us that considers the opportunity to begin again, or that considers the opportunity to set a goal and to try to achieve that goal, or that's given a clean slate. And then there's the other part of us that says, you can't do that. You can't start again. You realize what you did last week? You realize what you did last month? You realize what you said yesterday? If people knew what you thought, you can't get your edge back. You're hopeless. You're worthless. Who are you kidding? You can't reclaim that edge. As we follow Jesus, it's never too late. It is never too late to be the person that God wants us to be. And there's nothing we can do, there's nothing that we've done that causes God to cast us off. There's nothing that we've done that causes God to say, I'm done with you. We haven't gone too far. We haven't done too much. We haven't been so lost, because our God specializes in helping us find what we did not intend to lose. You and I cannot make the axe head float. We can't make that axe head come to the top of the water, but we can grab it. And if you want your spiritual edge back, I promise you that God will bring you opportunities for you to get it back. But it's up to you whether or not you grab it. We've got 13, 14, 15 some classes and groups that we're starting next month. And we've been talking a lot about them, and maybe we're to the point where I'm teetering on guilt. Like, oh, if I don't sign up for one of those, I'm just a bad person. So I'm going to sign up for it so Brian shuts up about them. Okay? If that is your motive for signing up, don't do it. Or if you're connecting with people outside of Hillcrest, you've got other Christian friends, you've got Christian coworkers, you've got Christian family members that you connect with regularly, then by all means, keep plugging in there. Don't sign up for our stuff just because you think you need to sign up for our stuff. But we provide our stuff as an opportunity for you and I to connect with people and to sharpen our edge. For some of us, the only time we're connecting with Christian people, the only time that we're being encouraged and challenged by Christian brothers and sisters is right here and right now. And I got to tell you, that's not going to cut it to get your spiritual edge back. If your desire is to get your edge back, Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:30 is awesome, but it's not going to get your edge back. I liken it to, you know, if you want to run a 5K or a half or a full marathon, and that's your goal, that's your edge, if you will, and you say, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that by walking or jogging a mile a week. Now, is that 1 mile walk or jog beneficial for your health? Sure. It's better than sitting on the couch. It's better than nothing. Coming to church on a Sunday morning is beneficial. It's helpful. But it's not going to get you to the position to run a marathon. It's not going to get your edge back. You need to take other steps. Connect with people outside of here. As we close this morning, our worship team is going to come back up here on the stage. Hopefully. Jason's here. We'll go acoustic drums, right? In their defense, they've got a kids' carnival going on in the back there. A lot of the folks are involved with that. You don't want me singing. But as they come up, or as they're getting ready to come up, there's Case. We got Casey too. I'm fairly confident that a lot of us here have lost our spiritual edge. I think a lot of us can point back to a period of time in our past where we were closer to God than we are today, where we were more on fire for God, where we cared more than we do now. And so I just want to invite you to, at this point, to bow your heads, close your eyes. And if what we've been talking about this morning describes you, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you've lost your spiritual edge, I invite you to simply raise your hand. I know it can be courageous to stick a hand in the air, and I know it can seem silly, but there is power in moving and in demonstrating what God is doing in your heart and mind, and by just a simple expression of a raised hand. And so with our hands raised this morning, please pray with me. God, we confess that we had a spiritual edge, and we've lost it. And with your help, we want it back. We repent of the things that have led us astray. We repent of the places and the things where we dropped our edge. We repent of the things that we've done, the things that we've thought, the things that we've said, the things that we've seen. And we commit to do the things that we once did, to have the faith that we once did, to search your word, talk to you, to connect with other people. We pray for a divine spiritual breakthrough in those of us with our hands raised this morning. We pray for you to restore our spiritual edge as never before. Help us find what we did not mean to lose. Give us the courage to take the axe head out of the water, to take the next step that you are calling us to take. Amen. It's also possible that some of us here have never had a spiritual edge to lose. We've never had a relationship with Jesus. We've come to church, we've tried to live a good life, but we've never made a decision to follow Jesus. We've never admitted our sin, we've never confessed it to God, we've never received the perfect life and death and resurrection of Jesus and received that in our lives. So if that describes you, I invite you to see me after service. Come up to the front during the song we're about to sing. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with those of you who want your spiritual edge back as well.